Okay, so let's start. Welcome back from lunch. So this session is going to be about networking in the cloud. And there's a lot of different ways you can do that, but most of them actually leads to Express Routes. So that's why the title said Express Routes. But we will cover some additional things that you can do before you set up your Express Route. And my name is Tommy Clark. I am an Office 365 MVP. I used to be a Skype MVP before that, but I switched over to 365 2 years ago, and now they changed name, and I don't really remember the new name. It's like Link for Business or something, MVP. Yeah. So I'm also an MCSM in communication, so I used to think that Snooper was pretty cool. And I actually have a screenshot of Snooper in this session to make it look like it's going to be like a level 300 session or something. So connection to the Microsoft Cloud, you can actually do it in three ways. Over the public internet, over VPN, and Express Route. And when we talk about Office 365, we can't really do VPN to Office 365. But for Azure, you can set up a VPN connection and then connect to your Azure services over that VPN. So most of the things in this session will cover the connection over the public internet and the Express Route connection. And so usually in my daily work, I do a lot of network assessments. Customers that have moved to Office 365 that are complaining about bad quality in meetings and so on. And one of the first thing I do is actually to just do a trace search. And this is actually from my home or office or somewhere in Stockholm. And we have like 5 hops over the public internet before we reach Microsoft's network. And they have a connection point in Stockholm as well. So I don't really, my traffic don't really travel that much over the public internet before we connect to Microsoft's network and then travel over Microsoft's WAN network back to the servers in either Amsterdam or Ireland. And the first one is for a tracer for WebPoolDB. So that's actually for Skype for Business. The second one is for outlook.office365.com. So there's like one more hop to, I think this one is actually in Dublin and this one is in Amsterdam or something. So that's why it's one more hop for my Skype traffic. But still, it's only like 10 hops to my servers from where I connect. So that's not really that much, right? And what we have seen is that if you're using like Google's DNS 8888, there's some magical things that Google does to that traffic that kind of routes it through Russia and then to Ireland, if you're lucky. And that kind of messes things up a bit when we talk about networking, right? And there's, when we talk to a larger enterprise, they always have this networking group with 10 people that are really smart that have been working for 30 years at the same company in the same room, and they know networking in and out. And they also like to put up these routes through Russia. I don't know why. Yeah, maybe. No, but still, it's a really simple test to test out like how your network is doing. Just a simple trace search. And when you get back to your office, just do a tracer to outlook.office365.com and see how many hops you have on the internet before you reach the server. And so that's like the basic of this. There's a page called peeringdb.com that I actually have a screenshot of here. And we have some public peerings exchange points and some private peering facilities. And there's actually one here in Belgium. And we have like 4 in Stockholm, So this is the ones that I connect to, and you should probably connect to some of the other ones, but I couldn't really find it because they have these codes that I'm not really sure about, PLIX and things. But there should be some interaction or something Belgish in here somewhere that you probably connect to. And so this is also a starting page to see how your network behaves. Like, did your ESP really connect to the most optimal route or not? And that's where Russia comes in. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But this most of the ISPs actually have found this page now and corrected their routes. It was pretty bad like 2 or 3 years ago, but it's been a lot better nowadays. And the other link that I had was like Microsoft.com/peering. And that's if you are an ISP and you want to know like how should we peer with Microsoft? What kind of routes should we set up and what should we do on our side? So that's the second link here. The next thing I do is some like connectivity analyzer tests. It's kind of basic to do this. And this is the new page or the new test, the Office 365 Client Performance Analyzer. Have you run it before? It tests your connection to SharePoint and Exchange Online, but it doesn't really do Skype. So, but it's still a base, it's a good baseline to run this test and see that your firewalls are open. You can see that you're actually using this Google Magical DNS. But we also see that we actually route our traffic pretty good, so it doesn't really matter in my case. But we have seen some cases where Google DNS is not the best way of doing your DNS. But we have some baseline on the network traffic. We see some expected values, so it's kind of help us to understand if it's good or bad. So red is bad, green is good. Pretty simple. You can actually send this to a user and say like, do you see a lot of red things on your screen? And they say yes and no, and then you know that you can try to find out what the problem was there. There is a button here, download the result file, that these users could then send to you. So you can do the analyze by yourself if they are colorblind and can't really read these green and red things. So that's a good way of doing it. My old favorite tool was actually this, the old Fast Track Network Analyze tool. Have anyone tried this one? So it's a Java-based tool. That's pretty scary. And but it also has this green and yellow and red things, so it's kind of easy for the users to understand as well. And you just log on to a web page. You don't even log on. You just open up your browser, type in this address. And there's actually one address per data center location. So there are like 6 different tests that you can do. And you have to find the one that you think you connect to. So if the customer is based in America, you should probably not use the EMEA one. And after you've done this test, it takes like 2 minutes or something. And this test actually analyzes or does a theoretical test of your Skype traffic. And after it's done, you can click through these different pages. And I think at the end or at the advanced page, there is like a button called something in the top left. I think it's in the bottom left. It's like a link or extract logs or something. And if you press that one, you actually get a link to this test that the user can then send to you. And you can go in and look through the different pages of the test that they have done. So let's say that you have a large enterprise with offices in 30 different countries. Then you would probably do this test from each and every country, right? And they would either do screenshots or send that link from the page under advanced. And you can then sit and analyze everything back home. So these two tools are pretty good to find like the baseline, and it doesn't really take that much time. You don't have to dig into and use some really advanced tool, but you could start here if the users are experiencing some troubles. And after you find some things here, you can then do some more advanced analyzing of the network. The next tool is the one, I think all of you attended the session before, right? Where we talked about the call quality dashboard, right? And this tool is actually something that you have to set up in Office 365. So you log on to your portal or browse to this page, cqd.link.com. And the first time you sign in, you have to like enable this function. So if you are on Office 365 today and you haven't really enabled this, you have to go on and do it today. And afterwards, it's going to start collecting this data that you can then analyze. And so if we enable this today, maybe in like 1 month or something, we're going to have some good numbers to look at in this data set. There's also some like a help page that takes you to blogs.office.com or like the official TechNet page of this page. And the first time you sign up, there's upload your building information bar in the top here. And if you click on that one and then click on the help page, it's going to take you to some page where there is an example file of a building information file. And that's going to ruin the rest of your day. Or if it's a Saturday, it's going to ruin your weekend. So don't click on that link and don't use that sample file. And there's actually a guy called Jens Trier Rasmussen or something in Denmark, I think, that has a good blog. And he actually has a sample file that works. So if you want to upload your building data, don't use the official one, use Jens. Jens is good. Okay. And in the speaker notes of this session, I actually have that link to his blog file. So if you go on and download the presentation afterwards, you're going to find all these links and his blog post as well. So this is like the basic tool that you can use to try and find like what problems do you have in your network. And this one is pretty simple, like blue is good, pink is bad. And when you upload the building data, you can try to analyze like, okay, what parts of my network are bad? And what you will see is that your wireless network sucks and your wired network is good. So it's, yeah, that's somewhere to start. Use 5 gigahertz wireless network, and there's a lot of other different things. Stoll is actually good at that. So ask him in the break. but most problem that I see is related to wireless. And at second place, it's definitely WAN networks. And then at third or fifth place, it's like the internet and so all other things. So if you want to get some hardcore, I promise to have a picture of Snooper here. So it's level 400 session now. And you can actually, like in Office 365, we don't have the reporting tools available, right? But you can go to the client that have had quality issues and extract his log file and then search for VQ report. And this is actually the data that is being sent to Microsoft. Or if you're on-prem, this is the data that is being sent to your reporting services on-prem. So VQ report, and you're gonna see all the different data that the client sends, and you're going to see the quality data, and you probably need to be a master to understand this anyway. So, but there is actually a good white paper that I didn't have the link to that explains all these numbers and what they actually mean. And okay, so even though we are on Office 365, we still have some options to find out what the problems are. And these are actually the same report, but we see the MOS scores and things like this. You know what a MOS score is? So 5 is good, 1 is bad, 4 is pretty good. So what do we look for? These are the like official numbers that we want to stay under. So we don't want any jitter, we don't want any packet loss. We want at max 100 milliseconds of latency. And even though if you have like a large latency but no packet loss and jitter, it's kind of pretty good. It's okay to have like 400 milliseconds sometimes, depending on who you want. If the guy on the other side just talk and yours sits quiet, it doesn't really matter. But if you both want to talk, it's kind of hard. but still, these are the numbers that we want to stay under. So when we did our initial analyzing, we found out that we used Google DNS, and this is kind of Russia here or something. And so what can we actually do then? And the answer then might be ExpressRoute. And it kind of fixes your network in this way. So you connect your MPLS network to Microsoft, and they are a different site. When you do your planning in the planning tools for Skype, you can do set up a different site for Skype for Business Online, and then use those tools to try to find out like what bandwidth should I buy on my ExpressRoute. Because when you go into that, you have to decide like, should we have 100 megabytes on our ExpressRoute or 200 gigabytes or 10 gigabytes or whatever. And I have a list of the ranges later on. But let's say that this is actually a 10 gigabyte internet connection. And we do have some problem here, but these guys actually have 10 gigabytes of internet up here. And they also have 10 gigabytes, but something happened here. So it's there's some problem here. And let's say that we decide on buying a 200 megabytes express route. What's going to happen? Yeah. Over that 200 megabyte connection, where we already have like all our Azure traffic and the databases and everything. And so in some cases, we have to be smart about what traffic are we going to route over our express route, and why do we want express route? Because what I see is that it's always the network on-prem or your own your local network that are the problem, or your WAN connection that are the problem. So express routes aren't going to solve all your networking problem over one day just by buying it and enabling it. So you have to fix your own things first. And then you have to be smart about, okay, we had our 10 gigabytes internet here, we're buying 200 megs of express routes. So we might get more connectivity over here than here, right? And so actually ExpressRoute for Azure and ExpressRoute for Office 365 is the same connection. So you don't have to, you actually have to buy two, but it's the same connectivity and connection anyway. So at first you start with signing up an ExpressRoute for Azure, and then you add on Office 365 on top of that. Yeah. But it depends on how they sell it, because you have to talk to your ISP. And they will probably have a different name for it and say that this is our super duper route to Office 365. But yeah, but it's still the same Express route, even though they terminated. So what they did last year was open up a lot of firewalls to be able to terminate the traffic differently. But for you as a customer, you shouldn't really care about that. So we are both right in some ways. Yeah. Exactly. But they will start offering it for Office 365 in the future because it's basically the same base networking behind that. It's just that they have to sign up for all these agreements. They have to open up all these firewall ports and everything in the data centers. Okay, but anyway, let's decide on Express routes. That's the best way to go. So how do we set that up? There's a lot of different services in Azure, and if you sign up for an Azure Enterprise Agreement, you will get access to all of these, and you actually only want Express Route for now. But you need to have an Azure EA subscription on top to be able to sign up for Azure Express Route and all of these other things. So you can't really sign up with a credit card and then buy Express Route on that. Then there's three different connectivity models. So we have co-location, Ethernet connection, and IPVPN connection. And this is basically when you have your servers hosted on a colo and they connect to Azure. So you just add Express Routes from their location. Ethernet connection is the connection that connects to this colo location. And IPVPN is the one that you will buy if you have your service on-prem and connects to your WAN network. And to complicate things, we also have three different peerings. So we have Microsoft peering, that's the traffic to the Office 365 services. And then we have public peering to public IP addresses in Azure, and that's like services like machine learning and PaaS services, Azure SQL as a service. And then we have private peering, traffic to virtual networks. And this is all your services and servers that you put up in Azure. So your VMs and everything that you install, your network, and so on. And you have to decide like, okay, these two are the ones that you get in your standard Azure Express route. And then when you add Microsoft peering on top of that, you get connectivity to Office 365. You follow? So one reason of signing up for Express Route is to get a secure connectivity where only your traffic is routed. So yeah, also that's another, but you might want to do it because you don't want your traffic to be travel over the internet. So we have security, we have latency, and then we have quality of service. That's basically the three priorities that I see my customers talk about when they want to go to Express Route. And since Office 365 is a multi-tenant solution, you might in theory have access to other, yeah, it's multi-tenants. So you do have access to the servers over there, but it's still secured in that way that you can't really connect to another tenant. So let's say that you have three different tenants that you manage and you sign up for one Express Route. You have to point that to one of the tenants. There might be some different connectivity going on in the future where you can multi-host them all, but not really right now. Yeah, it might actually. But it depends on how your network looks. So if you have a large MPLS network today, you're going to connect the express route into that MPLS network, and that's going to, it might solve the problems. Sometimes it might be the internet connection. Sometimes it might be your Wi-Fi or network or WAN. So you have to dig out that first. Okay, so four steps and one example to enable this. And at first, this is what I talked about before. It might not solve all your networking problems because they might be in your network and not on the internet. You have to understand how it can actually help you with the connectivity. So during last year, we moved roughly 200,000 seats to Office 365, where five of those customers did enable Express Route, and two of them, or one of them last year and one this year, enabled Office 365 on top of that. And they only did it for the security, to be able to not route any traffic over the public internet and only have full control of the network paths to Office 365. And in that case, they didn't really care about quality of service or latency. It was solely a security standpoint where they looked at Express Route from. And then determine the connectivity type. And it's mostly certain this one. If you are co-located, it might be this one as well. But in most cases, even if you are co-located somewhere, you probably have your own WAN connection and WAN network that you buy from some other ISP or company. And you would probably use this connection type anyways then. When you have done that, you have to do some PowerShell. So you can do a get Azure, what does it say? Get Azure, okay, let's do it like this. Get Azure dedicated circuit service provider. And you will see a list of all the service providers that you can connect to. You will see the connectivity options. So it ranges from 50 megabytes to 10 gigabytes for most cases. And then you select one of these and you actually have to sign up first at Microsoft, then at your connectivity provider, then connect them together. And then you have to pay both of them as well for the different connectivity. So it's kind of, the example at the end will show these flows. So when you have found your partner, there's like, these are the main ones, but there might be other smaller companies that uses these to connect you to Azure or to Express Routes. So even though that this list is pretty small, there might be other companies that are actually offering Express Route on top of these guys. So determine the bandwidth requirements, and that's also connected to the cost, of course. So a 50 megabyte will be pretty cheap, but a 10 gigabyte will be pretty expensive. And that's what I meant before, like if you have a 10 gigabyte internet already, and you can only afford a 100 meg express route, you might not win that much going express route, right? It might cost you more than you earn. But if you do it from like a security standpoint or from a connectivity where you have latency, it might be a good option. And you can actually, at the end, I'm gonna show you how to route the traffic so that you can enable express route for some sites only, and you have some other sites that are connected over the internet. And that's going to give a pretty good picture of your entire network then. So we can use the bandwidth calculator to try to find out how much express route we need to buy. There's a bandwidth calculator for Skype, for Exchange, for Azure as well, or some parts of Azure. And remember that if you're running Azure in the same express route, you might have to account for that as well. And then decide on what services should we use on top of express routes. So if we have connectivity or latency issues for Exchange, we might only enable Exchange for this at first and not SharePoint or Skype for Business, or the other way around, of course. If we are doing conferencing, for example, and we have issues with the phone conferencing, or we might enable Skype but not Exchange. There's an old model, an old billing model, and a new billing model. So you will probably not see this if you sign up today. And you will only see this new unlimited data and the meter data model. And as you could see in the PowerShell slide before, there's only 50 megabytes to 10 gigabytes now. And you can pay for unlimited data or for meter data. And this is the traffic or the charge that you will be charged from Microsoft. So you have to decide on that as well. And there's like a calculator on the Azure site that kind of helps you decide if you want to go unlimited or metered and where the break even are between them. And this new model is pretty simplified when it comes to billing and connectivity as well. So it was a bit harder to set up before with this old model, because you had to select your exchange provider or network service provider. And that was actually the companies behind that we saw on this map picture. And some of them were exchange providers and some were network service provider. And you didn't really understand what anyone was. So an example from Telia Sonera. At first, we decide on express route and we sign up at Microsoft. Then we order this from Telia, and then we create a circuit in Azure. And this is some PowerShell magic that you have to do. You get a circuit ID and some other output that you have to give to Telia that they will then use on their side to connect the correct Azure or sites or whatever to your express route and to your WAN networks. And that's when they build the connection. And this is actually like 2 or 3 weeks of time period in our case. When they are done, they will give a thumbs up. And we will then configure express route on our side. And in most cases, we have had Azure in place at first. So we had our infrastructure in Azure, and then we added express route. And that kind of messes up the routing protocol, because now everything is going to be routed over express route instead of the internet. So this will probably be like one night of PowerShell configuration for some smart networking PowerShell guys. But except for that, it's a pretty simple process. The caveats are that you need to pay Microsoft, you need to pay Telia. If you want to go with Office 365, you need to buy the Express Route Premium SKU as well, on top of that. And from Telia, you have to buy one more thing for them to connect to Office 365. So I'm actually buying one express route, but I'm getting charged for 5 different things. And that's kind of hard to comprehend at first when I'm at the customer and saying like, oh, you have network problem, buy express route, it's simple. And they are getting like 5 different charges for things that they don't really understand. And yeah. It can actually add up and be quite costly in some cases. It depends on where you're coming from. If you are a large enterprise, it's like nothing compared to your WAN connectivity. So this page actually describes how it looks like from a networking point of view. We have the customer's network, connectivity to Telia, and over the express route to Microsoft. And this is only in the Azure case. So if we mix this page with the one before where we had Microsoft peering as well, it would be on top over there. And this is what I meant before, that the ISP or the WAN provider actually calls this something else. So they are calling it DataNet Cloud Connect. And if you call Telia and say like, "Hey, I want to buy express route," the sales guys are probably not going to understand you. And you have to look up that they are actually calling it Cloud Connect, and they're going to sell it to you then. So it's pretty new for these guys, so they are not on top of everything yet. This is actually the PowerShell commands to set everything up. This was step one in my description before, where we create the circuit and we're going to send this output to Telia in step two. And it's really not that much more than this for step one. This is the things that's going to take you all night on the day that you want to go live. So if you use this PowerShell commandlet, it's pretty simple. It's only a route where you set it to 000. And that means that you want to route everything that should be routed to the internet, to the internet. It's really simple, but really, really undocumented. So when you enable Express Route, you need to take care of your routes. Make sure that the internet routes are routed to the internet and not to your local on-prem network first and then to the internet. And the network guys are probably going to think that this is like the daily work that they do every day, but still. So if you have set up site-to-site VPN connectivity before with Azure, you cannot route your traffic directly anymore. So there might be some issues with VPN connectivity to Azure when you enable ExpressRoute as well that you need to think about. So it cannot be a transit router for like site two that connects to site one, but you will probably have your WAN connectivity between these two sites anyway and don't connect it through Azure. But in some cases, you might do that from the start where you have like a different Azure subscription that connects to your local on-prem via some other site in Azure. So there are some network things to think about when you enable the Express Route. So NATing, this is pretty much what I covered before with the routing as well. So with regards to Office 365 and CRM Online, I think CRM Online is still in public preview or something, or it might have been GA already. But you can connect all of these workloads, so it's basically most of the supported workloads in Office 365, I think. There might be some new things that are coming, like Power Apps, for example, that aren't supported in on the Express Route already. Power BI was GA 2 weeks ago or something. But most of the Office 365 traffic can be routed over your Express Route. So what about quality of service? That's like one of the top reasons to go Express Route and to tunnel your Skype traffic over your Express Route. And it's Since it's an extension of your WAN network, it will handle your quality of service correctly. So when you send your DSCP values, it will classify and handle that the correct way. So you do get quality of service of your Skype connectivity and traffic. And yeah, basically it's, if you know anything about QoS, you already know this already, and it's fully supported in Office 365 Express Route. This is just a printout of the recommended and supported values. If you're on-prem, you can change these values, but if you are on online, you cannot change these values. And even though your network guy says that Microsoft does this wrong, it should be something else, they have to give in on this one because we can't really change this on the Microsoft side. So we have global connectivity, and that means that we can set up the express routes to the different data centers that we are connected to. So when you sign up for Office 365, if you select a location in Europe, you're gonna have your data stored on in Amsterdam and Ireland, right? And if you are in America, you're gonna use servers over there. And with ExpressRoute, you can actually set up multiple ExpressRoute connections to different data centers and route your traffic the best way in your WAN network. And this actually requires ExpressRoute Premium as well. So if you have a large worldwide network, you will have to have that premium add-on. And that's even for Azure ExpressRoute, but for Office 365, you need that anyway. So with, I mentioned before that you can route Skype traffic solely over the ExpressRoute and not SharePoint and Exchange traffic. And you will do that by standard BGP tricks. So if you know your network, you know that you can configure these BGP community values that I've listed here. So let's say that we want to only route Skype for Business traffic. We will then use this BGP values in our routers and tell the routers to send the Skype traffic over the express routes, but not the SharePoint and Exchange traffic or the other way around. So, and we have some links to end this with. Do we have any questions? Are you gonna buy it? So I do have a sales presentation as well, and that's that's not as truthful as this one. but actually, many larger customers will go ExpressRoute, and you will have to handle this. And the things that I mentioned, like you get five different bills or five different lines on your bills, that's not really a problem for them. But it can be hard to understand from the start with. But the cost will not be a problem for those kind of customers. And they want the security, they want QoS. So ExpressRoute is actually the only way to go. So you will have to handle this anyway in the future. Pricing is listed here. This is a blog post for the site-to-site coexist with a VPN that I had a slide on before that explains that. And there's an FAQ. There's a lot of links in the speaker notes as well. With this. So, thanks for not falling so much asleep.